I'll tell you a story about one of the members in our organization from Nigeria who works in Kaduna, which is quite far away, and they are called Van Soam Foundation, and they do a lot of work with youth and training young people how to use ICTs. And they have in their community some young musicians, and all they want to do is to have a band, become famous, and play. And something like MySpace, for example, or even a Nigerian version of it, becomes a really powerful tool for them because they don't have money to make a CD, but they can use very basic technology to record some of their songs, put it on the web, and other people can listen to it. And if they go to a cafe or a bar to say, can we come and play here, then they can gift that. It becomes a space that they can use to tell who they are, for people to listen to some of their music. So, you know, that's just one particular example, but I think there are more examples. I think because it helps people to share experiences and information, it doesn't have to do that across the Atlantic. It can happen at a local and a regional level as well. I think that the issue of access to infrastructure and the cost of access has to be addressed. And this doesn't just apply to Web 2.0, it applies to all access to technology. Unless universities in Africa can have access to the kind of bandwidth that they need to access online journals, to access video material, to do research, to be in a position where all students can have access, there will always be a growing gap between the technology haves and have-nots. So I do think that even though one can use Web 2.0 tools quite creatively in a local level, you don't always have to have a good internet connection. The discrepancies in access has to be addressed. And then also the integration of mobile has to be done more creatively and more effectively.
Is that the trend in South Africa?
I think in South Africa there are lots of contradictions, but there are also, you know, many positive trends. In fact, I know of a project that's being launched today. It's called Cell Life. And it is the first project of South Africa in this nature that's using mobile phones to disseminate information about HIV/AIDS issues and using SMS and working with government, working with the NGO sector. They are reaching people in a way that they've never been reached before in South Africa. You know, there's a lot of cell phone spam, but they are actually sending out useful information about how to deal with HIV/AIDS issues, how nutritional advice, healthcare advice. And so, yes, I think that in South Africa, as well as in other places, there are increasingly more creative uses.
And what's your part in it as an association, as an individual?
I think as an association, we try to encourage people to not be scared of technology. You don't have to be very skilled. You don't have to be very large. You can do creative things with technology. It's really about experimenting and exploring. So we focus a lot on creating opportunities for learning. And then we also look at the needs of specific communities like women. We do a lot of work with women and supporting women to network among one another, older women working together, you know, young girls working together online. And then we also look at policy. And I think, as I said earlier today, how the risks of these technologies, the lack of privacy, the fact that there's access to so much personal information affects people and will be very different depending on their social and political context. And therefore, I think we continually look for the integration of human rights, protection of privacy in the ICT policy arena.